Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And here we are. Good. Back with you after a month of fundraising, and I especially want to thank yesterday's efforts and all of you who were listening yesterday. What a turnout. That was fantastic. We got a last-minute surge, and the people who listened to The Positive Mind or were listening yesterday really came across with quite a bit, and my personal thanks to all of you. So I was thinking more a little further about this condition that we have in the world of finance today, and I was thinking about all the panic that's out there and all the people that are worried. And then I was walking up Fifth Avenue, and I passed by Tiffany and Company, and strangely enough, you couldn't get in the place. The place was jammed. Mostly people from other countries, you could tell, but it was jammed. Then I spoke to a man who happened to be in Las Vegas, and he was staying at one of the popular hotels there doing some business, and he said, there's a lot of people here. He said, and nobody seems to be suffering. So this becomes a really big question. Hold on a second. If the people who could afford to buy things at Tiffany's and can go to gambling casinos don't feel the pinch, who is it that's feeling the pinch? And what is this pinch? And what's going on? And do we feel the pinch? And has it been turned towards us? Well, certainly if you try to buy a used car nowadays, you can't get credit. They just won't give you credit. They just will not. They'll send you a car for cash, or they'll send it to you on your credit card. But if you try to get a layaway plan or you try to arrange for credit, boom, that's out the window. So they won't allow you that, and things like that have happened, and people are starting to fall away on their mortgages, and people are beginning to feel the pinch. Businesses are drying up, not Tiffany's, but some businesses are drying up. So everywhere I turn to try to understand this a little better, I keep hearing people screaming out. It's the greed and the excess. It's the manipulation of the greedy people on Wall Street and the bankers' excess, and so on and so forth, and that's who's to blame for this. And I can't keep, I mean, it just seems, I've never heard people blaming so much. I listened to two presidential candidates talk about today's economy and what's happening, and one of them blames what he calls the greedy people on Wall Street, and the greedy politicians that were his brother's people he was with in his party. He blames them. He says they're the ones who brought this banking crisis here. And the other one blames him. You know, Obama blames McCain, and McCain blames his old cronies, and then everybody wants to blame George Bush. They say, yeah, it was George Bush who did it, right? So I have this question. If we didn't have blame, what would we have? You know, there's an old adage, if you don't have blame, you have shame. And that means, if you don't blame somebody, you're going to have to look at yourself as being responsible. But as far as I'm concerned, if you don't have blame, you have shame is just another form of blame, blaming yourself. What would we do if we figured out there's nobody to blame? There is no blame. That's a funny thing. Well, let's take a look. Let's look a little closer at that. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You know, it feels good when you're feeling worried, when the value of your retirement account, if you had one, falls away, if you can't match, if you get fired because your job closes down. You want to blame somebody. You know, a man nowadays, if he goes around saying, the old days, if somebody went around saying, what are you, I'm a banker. Wow, what an esteemed profession that was, a banker. Now, oh, you're a banker. What are you? You're a broke. I'm a stockbroker. That used to be an esteemed profession. Nowadays, ew, what are you looking for a job? Even being a physician. You know, what do you do for a living? I'm a physician. Oh, yeah? What are you doing, selling prescriptions? I mean, you know, there's so much. Everybody's kind of every profession that was once considered a grand, prideful profession is kind of falling into disrepute slowly. A little at a time. Shame. Blame. Those doctors are responsible. The insurance companies are responsible. The drug companies are responsible. Blame them. Blame everybody. So it would seem that the obvious thing I would be saying is stop blaming everybody, everybody, and start looking at how we participated in this to create this very thing that we have. But if I do that, then you're going to blame yourself. I don't want you to do that. We all have inside of us a small child that is a kid who just likes to be in the world, and we're all supposed to take care of him. When we blame ourselves, it's like we're punishing this child. Why do you want to punish the kid inside you, even if it made mistakes? So this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I'm looking at the kind of this need to blame somebody for the state of the economy. Let me tell you what we have as opposed to what we have not. And this is not just positive minding, glossing over things. It was interesting, by the way, to try to find an antonym for blame. What's the opposite of blame? Commend. You know, commend somebody for something. But let's look at it. Let's look at what's happened to our world over the last 30 years, 40 years. And I take the last 40 years because I see from 1945 to now, the Second World War to now, we kind of, you know, we took off. The industrial world took off, and it took off in so many different directions. And we have become basically a nonviolent society, humans. And I know you're going to say, oh, yeah, what about Darfur? What about Africa? What about? But basically, we're nonviolent people. Basically, we're a society that now believes that violence is a poor resort, not a resort of the powerful. We're a cultured society. We're a group of people who know more about things, about art, about paintings, about music than we've ever known before. We're an affluent society. Yes, affluent. Even if you're the poorest of the poor, you may have running water in your house. You may have a bathroom inside your house. People rarely starve. Rarely starve. Food is generally available. Almost everybody has shelter. Electricity is there. Schools are there. Education is at a level that it never has been before. I mean, not that people are learning better, but people are learning more, and there's communication. My gosh almighty, is there ever communication with the advent of the computers around the world? We're now in total communication. We, right this second, are in total communication around the world with people who are listening in different countries, you know? How did we do this? It's amazing. Well, okay, we got all that, and now it's starting to fall apart. And you want to know why it's falling apart? Here's what's falling apart. The very thing that gave us all these things, the very thing that made us into a nonviolent, cultured, affluent, communicative, not-so-hungry, sheltered society, has been this rapid growth that came from people who decided they would buy into the future. I'll borrow a little money now, and I'll pay for it later. I have every right to borrow it now. I'll borrow it now, and I'll build the world now, and my kids. Well, they'll have to pay for it. No, they won't pay for it, because they'll then have to pass the buck along to their kids. Well, that's what we've done. That's what a national debt is. You see, we have a debt, and then we pass the debt along, and then we pass the debt along, and we pass the debt along. Of course it makes sense. Everybody's done it. Every generation has passed debt along until now. All of a sudden, the banks say, wait a minute now, we used to be able to shovel this around. You would send it over here, I'd send it over there, they'd send it over there, you'd send it to me, I'd send it to you, I'd buy a derivative, I'd kind of sell a put and a call against an option, and I would do all of this thing, and I would work it. I'd send the Bank of Ireland half my money, and then I'd get CDs from them and send them over to papers and promissory notes to South Africa and turn that into something else and convert it into gold, into lira, into a buy the dollar and short the yen. That's what people are doing out there, and they figured out a way to do it and to keep that productive in such a way that you keep staying ahead of the bill collector. The bill collector is the time when you have to really pay off some of your debt. And it just stopped working. We got to the teetering point. We got to the point where we couldn't do it anymore. We got to the point, and we are at the point right now, my friends, where the house of cards has gotten shaken. Is it completely falling apart? Well, go to Tiffany's. It's not completely gone apart. No, obviously somebody believes it hasn't fallen apart completely. Go to Las Vegas. Obviously, there's a group of people who are saying, eh. Well, maybe it's just the wealthy who are saying it's not so bad. No, the wealthy are beginning to feel it because they got sudden giant chunks of their money disappearing in value. The actual money's not gone, but their valuations are lower. Houses are lower. House values are lower everywhere. Who's to blame? Nobody's to blame. We are part of a system. And if we were passively a part of it, we were passively a part of it, we were part of a system that finally, finally exhausted itself. It's out of breath. You know what I mean? The big bull was running up the hill and I'm running up the hill, I'm running up the hill. Okay, I'll buy that, I'll buy that, I'll buy that, I'll buy that, I'll sell that, I'll build that, I'll buy that, I'll move that, I'll do this. And then all of a sudden the bull runs out of steam. And says, I can't do it anymore. So Iceland falters. You know? Iceland melts. You know? Greenland's going to turn brown. The United States are going to become disassociated. And, I mean, all these funny names we have for ourselves. Anyway, and it's not funny, of course. It's a serious, serious matter. And I know you're taking it seriously. And I know some people are taking it too seriously. What does it mean to take it too seriously? This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. My job is, my friends, to try to keep your sensibilities about you. Too seriously is when you believe that you are in full panic, that you can't sleep at night, that you wake up wondering where all your money's going to go. I ever tell you the story when I used to work in Wall Street about the man who started with $1 million. He had $1 million, and I remember I was working in Wall Street at one time. I was, believe it or not, a registered broker. I was 21 years old. I got my license, and I was the youngest person ever to get it on my birthday. And I had this man I knew. He had $1 million, and he bought these options. He bought these stock options on a major company, and he made, from his $1 million, he made $26 million. He was up $26 million in value on a major company, like, you know, a major stock, right? He made a lot of money from his $1 million. And this is in a short period of time, in 1 year. So in 1 year he does it, and then the company goes bust, like Enron. You know, something goes wrong with it, they get discovered, something goes wrong, and his $26 million thing becomes worth $2 million instead of $1 million. The man I knew, he committed suicide. Why did he commit suicide? He said he was ruined. 1 year after he had $1 million, he had $2 million. But when he got up to $26 million, he began identifying himself as $26 million man. And then when he went down to $2 million, he felt poor. Shame. The house he bought, he had to sell, but he still had double what he had the year before, but he committed suicide. I'm a little worried about people who are taking this all to heart. We're going to get by. We're going to get by with each other. We're going to be pretty good with each other. And we're going to be taking your calls about this, too. You know, our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We haven't taken calls for a month. A month I haven't spoken to you. I'd like to know how you're feeling about it, but I'd like not to just get pontificating or blaming. You know, that's easy to get on the air and say, you know, it was the bank who bothered and they did this and they did. I want to know about your emotions. I want to know where you're shaky. I want to know where you could use help. Because people are shaken. Shaken. Some people can't sleep at night. Some people are worried about the future. What will happen to your kid in college? What will happen to that child you're supporting who's in go-away school? Well, they'll come home. You know what I mean? Well, they'll drop out of college. You know, there's no tragedies here. This is all living. It's all a part of life, and unfortunately, we are so used to life becoming relatively incrementally better that we haven't lowered the mark yet. And it may be time. Maybe time. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. So, along with this, we're going to take your calls. Along with this, you know, here's an interesting practice for you. The question is about, if we're going to talk about guilt and blame, let's talk about forgiveness, okay? Forgiveness is a fascinating concept. There have been, in history, 10 great moments of forgiveness. 10 great ones. Or supposedly 10 great ones. Number one, 8th century B.C., the Sabine women implore the Sabine men not to attack their Roman abductors, who have now become their lawfully wedded husbands. You know, the rape of the Sabine women defend the men who rape them. And they ask for forgiveness. 13th century, Genghis Khan. No, better than that, A.D. 29. A.D. 29, Jesus Christ forgives all sinners from the cross. Wasn't that pretty remarkable? 13th century, Genghis Khan spares the life of his blood brother who turned against him. You know? The Union general, Lawrence Chamberlain, saluted the Confederate soldiers when they surrendered as an act of forgiveness. 1947, Corrie ten Boom is glad to shake the hand of a guard from the concentration camp where she and her sister had been held, forgiving the people who were the guards at the concentration camp. 1983, Pope John Paul II visits his would-be assassin, the guy who tried to kill him, and forgives him. These are notable forgivenesses. 1990, Representative John Lewis, severely beaten during the Civil Rights Movement, writes in a New York Times op-ed that George Wallace, former arch-segregationist governor of Alabama, is a changed man and should be forgiven. 1990, Nelson Mandela, right, recently released after 20 years in South African prison, tells a rally, "We especially need to forgive each other because when you intend to forgive, you heal part of the pain. But when you forgive, you heal completely. When you intend to forgive, you heal part of the pain. But when you finally do it, you heal completely." 2003, in a dramatic event captured on CBS, Rio Hatfield and Beau McCoy, you know the Hatfields and McCoy, right? They sign an official truce. And believe it, up until now, they had been just killing each other. The Hatfield and McCoys, before 2003, were still actively killing each other whenever they could. All this over the, you know, some fight about a stolen pig. October 2006, within hours of school shootings that left five little Amish girls dead. members of the Amish community of Nickel Mines visit the killer's wife to offer forgiveness, comfort, and support. What is that? What is that stuff, my friends? What is it? Well, you know, it's a really funny thing, this forgiveness, because we're going to talk about it more. It's one of the golden words of our culture. It glistens with 100 admirable qualities, and its purity and moral prestige seem beyond challenge. It's just a great thing to be a forgiver, is it? It's a real question. It transcends mere considerations of any mixture of interest or punitive anger. It transcends justice. To forgive is enormous. But here's what's happened in our world. Forgiveness has changed. You do not forgive someone for their sake. You now forgive someone for your sake. Yep, forgiveness has changed. The whole definition is living in a therapeutic age, the therapeutic community, they strongly recommend forgiveness all the time. Forgive the bankers, forgive everybody. You know what? You know what the main idea here is? Forgive so that you could drop your resentment. Give it up. Forgive. Forgive. For giving up this pain that you carry inside, this anger, this resentment. So the idea of forgiving is not to be seen as an act of condoning the other person's behavior, but it's an act of trying to rid yourself of the pain that you're carrying around. Forgiveness is selfish. Now, I don't know if Jesus was selfish on a cross, saying, "I forgive all mankind." I don't know if that was a selfish act or a selfless act. I don't know. I don't know if Genghis Khan was being selfish. He was just saying, "I think I'll rid myself of this pain." I don't know about all these people. I don't know what the Amish were doing. I guess they didn't want to get angry. But for most people, forgiveness is done so that you don't carry it in your heart. But here's the problem. Too many people love to carry anger and resentment. They love to carry it. It's chemistry. You know, if Stephanie Dombra were here with me, she would be talking about the chemistry of being angry and what it does to rev you up. You know, it's a wonderful thing, cortisol and adrenaline and all these chemicals that make you feel alive. When you're depressed, very often what people do is they get angry instead of depressed. Anger and resentment feeds the chemistry in your body that gives you a kind of a glow. A glow. It makes you feel kind of good. It's like a punching bag makes you feel good. It's like sports make you feel good. Getting angry in some way gets your appetite going so that you could just be cortisolian, you know? One of the things we learned about chemistry is we learned a little bit about serotonin and how important serotonin is to people. And how serotonin has to be somewhat in balance and you have to feel okay and have enough serotonin. And when serotonin drops, there's a tendency to try to reproduce it, but you can't reproduce serotonin too easily. So there's a substitute for serotonin called cortisol, which does in effect what the serotonin does in a short-acting way. And cortisol comes when you get angry. You can kind of see this around hormonal cycles. Very often people will feel a drop in energy and they'll feel themselves getting depressed or getting sad. And instead of that, they change, they get angry. You know, I think PMS is an attempt to recover the chemistry of lost serotonin. You know, that should be in the name of a movie, Finding the Lost Serotonin. You know, the cortisol solution. So I think people stay angry for a reason, and therefore if you stay angry, then you stay blaming. Now, does this mean you should not be angry? No. No, somebody offends you, you can get angry. But do you carry this banner of blame? Do you carry it? Do you want to walk around and you want to be like John McCain? You know, you could be a John McCain substitute. He's blaming. He's just up there blaming. You want to join the ranks of the blamers? You want to be a politician blamer? Do you want to see? I mean, George Bush blamed, right? Blamed. Iraq blamed. Afghanistan blamed. I mean, through blame is what he's gotten this world in this condition. It's all through blame, but we got to kind of drop this one. Blame is not working. Drop it. There's nobody to blame. I mean, you could try it all you want, but it doesn't work. Now, could you, of course, say to yourself, I created this. I'm a part of this. Is that the alternative? No, it's not the alternative. It was a good idea. The whole society is a good idea. The whole idea of working a society like this is a good idea. The whole idea of running into debt and buying in the future and paying it off so that you can buy for your kids, you know? I'm doing this for you kids. You know, I get the house, I pay it off, I get the mortgage, I work my life out to do it for my kids. It's such a good idea, you know, to supply your children and your grandchildren with some kind of endowment, some dowry, some something that you could give them. What a good idea. You work extra hard, you take out bigger debt, you buy out on your credit card. Sure, it should work. It doesn't work. It worked until it stopped working. Well, my friends, it seems to have stopped working. Things seem to be shifting around. Things don't seem to be what they were. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're not seeing a crash. We're seeing an unraveling. We have all these threads kind of raveled together into a knot. And then suddenly we're trying to pull on one and we're trying to pull out a thread and it doesn't work. We're trying to unravel the society. And things are going to change and things are going to be better. All for the better. So this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here at WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Back to be back with you. Can't wait to hear from you, you know, which we'll be hearing right after our short break, which we'll be taking now. Now, from here on in, I will be with you on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 1 p.m. And I have a question for you. I'm going to ask you that if you made a pledge, please get that pledge into the station as fast as you can. If you made a promise to send a check, please get that check over here. Lord knows, if we don't get the checks in here, we may have to have another fund drive next week. We don't want to do that. We've had far too many. But my special thanks to everybody who have participated in the fund drive, all of the people who were there, who have been a part of it, just amazing folks. And so we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be taking your calls, my friends. I'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
Time to you is worth saving. Then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone.
Bob Dylan song. Times they are changing. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. You know, isn't it a funny thing that about 10 years ago, WBAI, the radio station, had to find a new home. And they looked all around, and a place that was offered to them was a place that was actually offered from a foundation of sorts that had a building on Wall Street. And this bizarre thing happened. WBAI went to Wall Street, and they were on Wall Street. And they're on located at 120 Wall Street, right there on the street where it's happened, right? And then comes 9/11. And it's right there in Wall Street, right where they are. And come a number of other things that happen, and they're right in the middle of it all. And here they are, this station who's right in the middle of the financial district, and right now, as the meltdown seems to be happening, who's there? WBAI, in the middle of the meltdown. In the middle of it. In fact, we were thinking about finding a different location a short while ago. We were saying we should move out of Wall Street because, you know, Wall Street, that's where all the greedy people are. But now here we are. And I tell you, if we open our doors, there are going to be a lot of brokers walking in just to sit down because we are a safe haven. 212-209-2900. This is the WBAI of Wall Street. What a funny thing. What a funny thing. You know, they're there. You think this was an accident, right? Now, there we are, just when you need it, right? Right there, dead center, as usual. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hello there.
Wow, it's a pleasure to be speaking to you.
And it's a pleasure to have you on the air because you're the first caller on The Positive Mind for well over a month. What's your name?
Thank you. My name is Millie.
Hi, Louie.
And
Millie.
I'm going to need a little guidance. I don't want to go all over the place. I kind of want to
sure
do the subject. But I've been imagining this conversation for a long time, so...
Oh, so there's really something you want to talk to me about that doesn't have to do with the subject that we have. And you've been trying to call me and thinking about calling me for a long time. And now that you've finally got me on the air, you want to try to fit in the thing that you need to talk about into my subject, right?
Correct.
Forget it. Forget the subject. What do you need to talk about?
Well, I was born and raised in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And I was on South Street when 9/11 occurred. I was pushed up to the Putnam area of New York, and most of my life I was quite ignorant when it came to politics. And when 9/11 occurred, it was a sort of a light bulb went off. It made me feel that I really should pay more attention to politics. And as a result, it's been an anxiety-filled relationship ever since. Now, with the present economic situation, starting with the fuel costs going up, that's when I really started to feel the anxiety and the tension and the more of the obsession of needing to know what was going on politically. Now, as a result, whenever I hear a politician or anyone try to justify the $700 million bailout and how did we get to the situation, the present economic situation. And some politicians say that it was as a result of lending out money to people who couldn't really afford, you know, purchasing homes they couldn't really afford to keep or living out of their means. I take that so personal, and It was a breaking point for me, and all of a sudden I felt very overwhelmed, and the things that I was trying to, you know, use skills and tools that I had learned in the past to try to keep my head above water, now I can't seem to tap into them.
Yeah, I can understand. So you're feeling yourself pretty depressed and powerless, right, Millie?
Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You see, this is what happened to people. People depend on anger to keep themselves, like I said about the cortisol, you know, people depend on anger to keep themselves above water. They kind of look at it. I mean, now let's look at it. If a banker says, we had to lend money to people who were subprime borrowers who couldn't afford to borrow money for a home so that they could get homes that they couldn't afford, who's at fault? The people who borrow it or the people who lend it? You know,
exactly.
who's at fault? And is anybody at fault? Or isn't it a good racket that you can't afford to buy a home and you have no credit whatsoever, but you could afford to get a beautiful castle for yourself? Isn't that a wonderful thing in America, if you can get away with it? Well, we thought we could get away with it, but we couldn't get away with it. And the bank thought they could get away with lending it to you because they could pass it on to somebody else, but they couldn't.
Right.
So it was a good idea.
So now combined with all the, you know, with the stresses that come along with not being able to make ends meet, I the very thing that made me feel somewhat successful as a parent anyway, you know, providing that home and having that backyard that my kids can play in, is the very thing that seems to, it feels like it's biting me in the butt now. Like,
exactly.
I bite off more than I can chew. And perhaps I was thinking more of myself than I was of my family.
Yes, okay, so let's say that were true, Millie. Let's say, let's not put the blame on Millie. Put the blame on Millie, don't do that. I think that's a song somewhere, you know. you know, but I tell you, I don't think that's the way it works. I think, yes, you, like everybody else, thought you could buy a backyard for your kids when, you know, and pay it forward. Of course, it made all the sense in the world. And now we're finding out, oops, maybe not. But you see, on the other side of you, the people who can't afford to do the banks, to pay the banks the mortgages they have, the banks don't want to take back the houses because they don't want to get the houses back. It's like they don't want to take the cars back. They don't want to put it in their inventory. So the whole mess is falling apart, and the whole thing that you got to do is not believe that there is a panic in this. There's a bunch of checks and balances.
Can I have one last question?
Sure.
Do you think it's, I don't know what the proper word is, but, you know, being raised in the Lower East Side and watching what Koch's administration did with the sweep on the Lower East Side, and then Giuliani kicked in with Times Square, and then, you know, I guess I don't know how 9/11 falls into that, but being slowly swept out of the city where I was born and raised, although that's the way it seemed. Am I being too anxious or too hard on myself?
Well, here's the question you have.
You see,
the question you have is, you know, in any society, in any jungle, when there are bigger animals, the smaller animals move out because they're going to get eaten.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So they just tend to move out. And these big animals came into America, Europeans with lots of money who were buying up into New York, and they're buying up every piece of property they could find. And the small guy just said, I think I'll get out of the way. They're raising my rents all over the place. I'll get out of the way. I'll go up to Putnam County, you know. I'll go up to the Bronx. I'll go somewhere else. Is there somebody to blame? It's the way the thing worked. It was, we got to overfill. We got to the place where we told the European people, come in here with your money because your money's better than our money and we don't have any money left and we'll sell you Essex Street. You know, we're going
right,
to say,
right, yeah.
You know, that's what we did. So is it wrong to have done it? No, it's the same kind of not forward thinking.
I depend on the city for survival with the minimal education that I have to make
Millie,
the dollars
Millie,
that I make.
You are a survivor. I promise you, you're a survivor.
Can't go any higher than Putnam County, so I hope
sure
this animal
can.
And small
sure
animal
can.
Thing seizes up quick.
You got.
I don't want to be a small animal anymore running.
You got a great spirit, and there
Thank
are
you.
Some beautiful small animals.
That's true.
Thanks for calling
you
in.
You are mine. God bless you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Yes, and Millie makes some very, very good points. Of course you want to resent Koch. Of course you want to resent, you know. Resent. They were all there. You know, they were just part of the problem and part of the problem still. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. 212-209-2900. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, my name is Ed.
Ray?
Ed.
Hello, Ed.
How are you? Yeah. No, I just had to I wanted to make a comment. Basically, what I feel as far as with this whole financial crisis and all the other crises we've been going through, it's an opportunity for people to really realize that, like you said, there's really nobody to blame. It's just a system of financial, for want of a better word, capitalism. It goes in cycles because this happened before. History just repeats itself. The Great Depression, people bought in the 20s, in the roaring 20s, and the 1910, 1920s, people bought things they couldn't afford. The economy was high, we're riding a bubble, then the Great Depression. And then history repeats itself because people, especially in America, don't remember. I don't really blame anybody, but I think it's a golden opportunity to realize that it's not all about money. It's really about people. It's about people. It's about lives. And we need to get a little more love in the room. You know, if you love your brother like you love yourself, you won't allow him to fall. You won't allow him to lose his home or to feel threatened because you'll put the humanity first before the profit. And I think that's what was missing, and that's why we're in the mess that we're in now.
Well, you know, yeah, I think you're right. It's an opportunity for us to remember our humanity.
Exactly.
You know, I can't see a man sleeping on the streets anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, it never made sense all the time I was seeing it, and it doesn't make sense now. So move over, man, in the streets. The banker wants to lay down next to you.
I hear what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is that maybe we could get rid of the capitalism and get more into the humanism.
It seems to be happening.
I hope it keeps on going.
And with people like you around and a spirit like yours, we're going to keep it going. Armand DeMille here. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, hello.
Good. Would you turn your radio down for me, please?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, Armand. This is a pleasure to get on the air here.
Who is this?
This is Kevin.
Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hi. Armand, I just want to say it is so important, Armand, that we always look for the good. That we just look for the good in a situation, and that is why I never really understood, and I'm not going to get into a big thing, I'm going to make this very short. With Iraq, I see 30 million people liberated from a terrible tyranny, that in 30 years from now, history will be much kinder to Bush. Like, I see Japan where I lived, where people appreciated what we did for them, and Germany and South Korea. So I try to look for the good. And when you look for the good, you'll get the good. But if you focus on the negative, you'll stay in the negative.
That's an interesting perception, Kevin. Thanks for calling
in.
Thanks,
Armand.
Sure. I don't, you know, there's a problem with looking for the good as opposed to looking for the negative. They're the same thing. You see, it's not what's good and what's bad. It's what is. It's not up to us to determine what's good and what's not good. It's up to us to determine what is. And so I think either way, if you find the good of it or the bad of it, it sometimes gets stuck in the middle, you know? Stuck in trying to determine who's at fault. Good, bad. So I don't agree. I don't agree of looking for the positive of why we invaded Iraq. And the negative of why we invaded Iraq, I just look at the thing of we invaded Iraq, and that's where we are. That's the place that we're in. And I say we, not they. I say we because I'm a part of it. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Hey, you know, just something from damn Yankees is clawing at my side about how together we all are. And I thought I'd pop this in here.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny.
But we'll travel along singing a song
side by side. Oh, we don't know what's coming to
we'll travel the road, sharing our load, side by side. Through all kinds of weather, what if the sky should fall? Just as long as we're together, it doesn't matter at all.
When they've all had the quarrels and parted, we'll be the same as we started.
Just traveling along, singing a song, side by side.
I keep thinking about that, you know, I keep thinking about the humanity of it and how we are side by side.
We throw off our troubles just as easy as blowing bubbles. What a pair, always walking on air. Life is nothing but a fantasy. Who cares about the weather? What if the sky should fall? What if the sky should fall? Let the little pieces scatter.
It really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
When they've all had the troubles.
When they've had the troubles.
We'll be the same as we started.
Traveling along, singing a song. Side by side.
Who cares?
Well, I wouldn't say who cares. I care. But I do care about side by side. I do care about the fact that when it comes down to us, all the separation disappears. You know, when you take off all the glitter and the gold and the fancy jewelry and the fancy cars, one of the things I notice is less cars on the road. Especially in New York, I notice people are driving less. Something happened with the economy of car. I noticed that people are driving, not driving SUVs as much. They're driving smaller cars. That something's beginning to happen. That a planet that was meant to get some sobriety is kind of coming around. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, we've got time for two more calls. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there, this is Armand DeMille. Well, I could tell you.
Oh, you caught me, Armand.
I caught you.
You caught me. I was listening to the Old Testament and said, he's not going to pick up the phone. Daryl from the Bronx.
Hiya.
And I want to stay real, real positive after that call. So, with regard to the economy, we have an opportunity to, like, flip this whole thing around, how we exchange goods and services. How we can be more respectful of one another. If we look at what's actually happening, while you were giving out the... let me slow down.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you for, number one, wanting to speed up, and thank you for stopping and slowing down.
I listen to
because you're demonstrating exactly what you're teaching right now. You're demonstrating we've got an opportunity to stop and pause and take a breath and know what we're talking about. You know, and you're demonstrating it right now as we're right here on air. Daryl says to me, here, let me talk, but wait a minute. Let me find my heart. Go ahead, Daryl, continue.
And so what I'm looking for is, because from what I've experienced, especially over the last couple of years, and, for instance, the work of Dr. Bruce Lipton and Dr. was it Daniel Amon and the stuff that you, the work that you're doing. And the answers are here. We need to figure out a way to distribute the answers to the people at a price point that they can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And then compensate everybody on the back end after the progress has been made. In the context of what I'm finding is that a lot of people say, at least, that they want to be better. However, when they go to get the help, they don't have the funds to fund what it is that they need, not what they're offered. For instance, I have, quote-unquote, great medical care, but it won't give me what I need. They're offering me things that...
Well, that's a good point. So there's a lot out there. It just may not be what you need.
Right. And how for instance, this WBAI, we understand that it is key and essential that BAI stays in business. BAI is trying to stay in business in a context of operating under one of the greatest financial loads that anyone's been asked to operate under since there was this kind of radio. And yet, if we reach up to the people who have it, you were talking about the money before.
Mm-hmm.
Forbes says 1,000 billionaires, 100 million millionaires. Well, let's say after this last little rift through the economy, you make a little adjustment. So it's not 100 million millionaires. Maybe it's only 50. 100 million.
Something like that.
Take half of that, 500,000 millionaires. They can keep that money circulating in that loop. That's why Tiffany's is crowded. That's why Walmart is crowded. That's why the stores in between are suffering.
Right, exactly right.
And so once we understand what the game is, this is what was given to me, and then I'm going to get off. You need sun to feed the plants. Then man eats the plants or eats the animals who eat the plant. And that's all you got, right? Anything that happens in between that is something that we made up. That means that we have total control over how we exchange goods and services. So once we decide to exchange the goods and services in a more humane fashion, in which you can have increase on investment, but take into account what that investment includes, we'll have a better life.
Darrell, I want to thank you so much for being with us. You're a wise man. And thank you especially for your deep breath in between. Thanks for being with us. Hey, this is Armand DeMille back with you at The Positive Mind. Absolutely fabulous. Happy to be here with you. And feel free to call me. Get in touch with me. You get into panics about money, economy, stuff like that. You can email me, armand@brainlink.com, or call me at my office. It's a time of crisis, but it's a time of funny crisis, too. It's a time of people worrying, over-worrying, like you're meant to panic, and therefore you'll forgive what we're doing. And that was, just keep your head calm. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. Back with you then. Bye-bye for now. Thank you.